I wonder if you'd take your Bible and turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 8, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." I'd like to preach on the subject this morning, "He satisfieth the longing soul." Now, if you would, turn over to John chapter 6. Gospel of John and chapter 6. If you guys will listen real fast, I won't keep you long. You'll be out of here. You'll even beat the Methodist to the restaurant. I was over at the restaurant last week, and the lady was complaining. I'm not going to say which church she was from, but she said he didn't let out till 12:30. And she was not happy. Well, I'll try not to do that to you. I don't want you talking about me when you go to the restaurant. John chapter 6, verse 35. You know, most preachers can say what they need to say in a shorter time frame than they say it. And I'm not against preachers preaching long if they're saying something worth hearing. There's a lot of preachers know how to soar, but they don't know how to land. So I think God has pretty much showed me when to quit. But if I got to preaching and you seemed like you liked it, I might give you another helping. But normally I don't preach real long sermons. I don't mind a long sermon. I remember I was in a meeting in Oakland, Maryland, where the man started preaching about 8:30, 9 o'clock and preached till 11. And when he quit, I was sad. It was that good. If it's good, it's all right, isn't it? John chapter 6, he satisfieth the longing. So John chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 35. We've been looking at this passage of Scripture for several weeks now. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never..." I underlined that in my Bible. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never," those are strong words, aren't they? "Never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And I've been preaching through the Gospel of John chapter 6 for some time now, and I quoted J.C. Ryle, the old Anglican bishop of the 1800s, who said this. He said, "There are probably very few parts of the Bible which contain so many deep things as the sixth chapter of John." And I'm tempted to move at a faster pace, but I know that there's still a lot of meat left on the boat. And when I thought of my grandmother, who she's now in an assisted care home, but when I was a young man, she always made a big turkey for Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then after the dinner, she would sit in there in the kitchen and she would pick that thing clean. I mean, when she got done, buddy, there was nothing left but the boat. And she didn't waste anything. She made turkey sandwiches, turkey soup, turkey casserole, turkey pot pie. There's a lot of meat on the bone still. Well, John chapter 6, there's still a lot of meat here on the bone. Christ makes a forceful statement in verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. This is one of the seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. And we live in a hungry world, do we not? I'm not talking about physically hungry. I'm talking about spiritually hungry. We live in a hungry world. People are starving spiritually. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the bread of life, and he's the only one who can satisfy. No one else or nothing else can satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. And the Son of God states without a reservation that he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And only God can satisfy like that. Only God can satisfy. I want us again to consider this passage. And this passage of Scriptures answers some very important questions. And I've put this in a question form. Number one, why did Christ come to earth from heaven? Why did Christ come to earth from heaven? Number two, what is the Father's will? Number three, what happens to those who've been given to Jesus Christ? And number four, what do those who believe on Christ believe? So the first question this passage answers is, why did Christ come to earth from heaven? And this is the time of year that especially, I guess, that the saved people and the lost people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm always amazed that a lot of people who don't even know anything about Jesus Christ will sing songs about him or be on a Christmas show about him. And God gets the glory, doesn't he? Even from the heathen. And so it's a time of the year when people outwardly celebrate the birth of Christ, but they really don't have any idea why he came down from heaven. They don't understand. But he came to this sin-cursed world for a reason, didn't he? He came to this sin-cursed world for a reason. He came, the Bible tells us here, that he came to do his Father's will. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He came to do his Father's will. That's why Jesus Christ came here. That's why he left heaven. That's why he left the portals of glory and came to this fallen, sin-cursed world, is to do the will of the Father. So he came to do his Father's will. That's the first question. Number two, what is the Father's will? Well, let's look at verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He came to do his Father's will, but it's important that we know what was the Father's will. He came down. If he came down from heaven to do his Father's will, then we need to know what that is. We need to know what that is. Well, he came that, he says in verse 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Aren't you glad he's not going to lose anything? He's going to lose nothing. You know, we read that portion of Scripture. It's a comfort to me, and I'm sure it's comforted your heart before. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, let's just look over there. It's only a few pages. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, I underline that in my Bible, they should never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we see here that God gave the sheep to his Son, and he is greater than all, and therefore there is no way that he can lose not even one. Isn't that good to know? That is, I know it's often abused and often misunderstood, but that is the doctrine of eternal security. That you cannot be saved and lost, saved and lost. You are saved eternally. If you are saved, you're saved eternally. Jesus is not going to lose anybody. He's not even going to slightly misplace you. You're saved. This is the Father's will. Verse 40 of chapter 6. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I want you to understand that Jesus came to call out a people. He came to call out a people. He came to this earth to give himself, the Bible says. He gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. The Bible says he came to save his people from their sins. He came to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That doesn't mean strange, though some of us are a little strange, I guess. But he came to purify unto himself a peculiar people. That means a peculiar, it was what that word peculiar indicates is that it belongs to him. They're his people. They're his sheep. If you're saved, you belong to him. And they are to be zealous, the Bible tells us, of good works. So he came to redeem his sheep. He came to purchase the church of God with his own blood, the book of Acts tells us. He came to redeem a people. That was his Father's will. Why did he come to earth from heaven? He came to do his Father's will. And what was his Father's will? Well, verse 39 tells us that of all that he gave him, he'd lose nothing. And that everyone that would believe on Christ may have eternal life. That's the will of the Father. So we see this here. We see why he came from heaven. We see the Father's will. And then I want you to realize what happens. This question here, number three, what happens to those who have been given to Jesus Christ? Well, we just read it. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, verse 39, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. But he's going to raise them up. I looked that word, raise them up. That's mentioned several times by the Lord. He's going to raise us up. That's a promise. That's what's going to happen to all those who have been given to Christ. One of these days, these bodies are going to be redeemed. Right now, your soul may be redeemed, but one day these bodies are going to be redeemed. One of these days, these mortal bodies, the Bible tells us, is going to put on immortality. One of these days, the Bible tells us, this corruptible is going to become incorruptible. In other words, you won't be dragging this old thing to heaven with you. You're going to shed this. This is going to be left behind. You're going to get a new body. So one of the things is that's going to happen to us is that there's going to be a resurrection. There's coming a resurrection. Notice what he says here. He says in verse 40, I will raise him up at the last day. There's going to be a last day. There's going to be a last day. And those who have been given to Christ will be raised up at the last day. Death has no hold on the believer. These bodies are going to give way. And I can't quote the song, but I believe it was one of the Rambo songs. Said that these jars of clay are going to burst wide open, or this house of clay is going to burst wide open. Listen, this my soul's going to leave this. There's going to be a resurrection. I'm going to leave all this behind. So, death has no hold. Death is swallowed up in victory, and death has lost its sting for the Christian. Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Whether you're in the ground or you're still alive, we're going to get changed. We're going to get changed. The body is going to be raised, and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And let me say this, there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There's no hope. After death, there's no hope outside of Christ. There is no hope. That's why he said, "I am the bread of life." He's our only hope, folks. He's the only one that can satisfy. So, he not only satisfies in this life, he satisfies in the life to come. I'm just saying, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I don't remember the preacher who said it, but, and I can't say, I don't know just how much we can, you know, any analogy breaks down after a while. But I understand what he was saying. He said, even if there was no heaven or no hell, he said, "I've lived a Christian life, and I think it's the best life you can live." Well, I have to say, the Christian life is a good life. It's good, Lynn, that I don't wake up with a hangover, puking drunk. I'm glad I don't do that. I'm glad I'm not down at the police station today being booked in for DUI. I'm glad I didn't beat up Evelyn last night. That's like that question, you know, are you still beating your wife? What I'm saying is, living like a Christian is a good way to live. It'll save you a lot of heartache, won't it? It'll save you a lot of trouble. People, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. All I'm trying to tell you is I've got a little bit of heaven on earth being a Christian. Every once in a while, the grapes creep over the wall and I get to eat a few grapes on this side. You follow me? So we see here, number one, why did Christ come to earth? Well, he came to do his Father's will. What was the Father's will? That everyone that God the Father had given Christ, he would lose nothing. What happens to those who have been given to Jesus Christ? They'll be raised up the last day. Yeah, if I can say it this way, it's a done deal. Amen, it's a done deal. So, number four, what do those who believe on Jesus Christ receive? Well, the verse 40 tells us. It says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, what do those who believe on Jesus Christ receive? Well, we receive a lot of things, don't we? We receive blessings on this side of eternity. We receive peace in our hearts. We receive joy. We receive comfort. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our paraclete. He goes alongside of us and helps us when we need help. He strengthens us. He teaches us. But I guess really, it's not the main thing. But we can't help but think that sometimes it is. We receive everlasting life. Really, the main thing is we receive Jesus Christ. We receive him, the Son of God, who gave himself for us. That's the main thing. But we receive everlasting life. The Bible tells us so here. And he is everlasting life, by the way, with capital E. He is life, and like Steve prayed, he's life more abundantly. He's life more abundantly. Last week, or not last week, everything's last week for me. If it had been 2 years ago, I'd have said last week. Last week, Thanksgiving time, I went to visit my grandmother. I said she's in the assistant care home, or maybe a step up from a nursing home. It's not a pleasant place. But you know what? There was life there. There was life there. But if I would go to school with that little girl back there next week and watch them on the playground, there'd be life there. But it wasn't the same life that was in that nursing home. What those children have is abundant life. Well, Christ came to give us life, and not just any old life, but abundant life. We can have abundant life. We can have life more abundantly. You know what our problem is, folks? And when I say you, I mean all of us. I mean me. Is we don't often take advantage of the things God's given us. He's given us this abundant life, and we neglect even praying. We neglect even reading our Bible. We neglect even talking to him, trying to get some of this abundant life. So Jesus said we'd receive eternal life. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never, never perish. That's a great promise, isn't it? You know, what is salvation? You ever thought about it? What is salvation? I'm not being mean to nobody. I just want you to listen to what I got to say. Some of my good friends over the years have been people who thought they could lose their salvation. Okay? I'll just tell you, they have. And they've been my friend. And I think they're Christian, some of them. But I don't quite understand their concept of salvation. See, if I was on a ship and it was sinking and the Coast Guard cutter came out and threw out one of them orange and white lifesavers to me, and I grabbed a hold of that and they pulled me on board and rescued me out of the waters and put me on that Coast Guard ship and started heading back toward the coast, if they got 200 yards from the marina or the dock and threw me back out in the water, I would say that was a failed rescue attempt. What would you say? I'd say that's not salvation. I mean, really, I'm not trying to be smart aleck or hateful or anything, but listen, Jesus saves. He don't try to save, he saves. I mean, if he can't get me all the way into the port, I need to find another boat. But you know what? He can get me all the way into the port. He's never lost one. He's not going to lose nothing, the Bible says. All those who believe on him shall never perish. That's a great promise. As I like to say, you can lay your head on that at night. Can't you? I enjoy knowing that, don't you? Sure. He gives unto us everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Every person who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. Eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, is it not? What do you have to do? What do you have to do to receive a gift? You ever thought about that? Huh? What? Here's a dollar. Somebody come and get it.
She's going to get it anyway, isn't it?
You know, what do you have to do to receive a gift? You just have to take it, don't you? When God offers salvation, what do you have to do? You just have to reach out and take it. Salvation's a gift, isn't it? I'm not asking if I didn't say who wants to do some work to get this money. I said, here's a dollar. Who wants it? God says, hey, here's salvation. Who wants it? Just reach out and grab it, huh? That's it. You say, a kid could do that. I understand a kid could do that. That's why kids get saved. Kids don't sit there and say, no, I wonder what he's up to. Kids, you know what? The Bible says we have to have a childlike faith, don't we? We have to trust. So, eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't purchase it with money. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't do good works and get to heaven. You can't obtain it by doing good deeds. If you could obtain it by doing something, it wouldn't be a gift, would it? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. You know, pride, men won't say this and women won't say this and young people won't say this, but a lot of times they don't want something that's given to them. They want to have to do something for it. And that's what we call it. You know, the old bumper sticker, I'm poor, but I'm proud. We need the Lord. Everybody does. And there's no sense being proud about it. You just may as well admit it. You need him. And take the gift. This is a season for gifts, isn't it? Well, God has given his very best, hadn't he? He sent down his son. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for sinners. And if you'll take that gift, he'll save you. I don't know any better news than that, folks. Do you? That's good news, isn't it? Well, I'm going to quit, even though it's early. I'm just going to make a few more comments. Jesus came from heaven to do the Father's will. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, for the Son of Man have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost today? Do you know him? Do you know what it means to be sin sick? Do you know what it means to be weary and heavy laden? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Not physical rest, but rest for your souls. Have you ever seen yourself as lost? You got to be lost before you can get saved. Have you ever been hungry or thirsty? Not after physical things, but after spiritual things. I think a lot of people are. They're just looking in all the wrong places, you know. I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of people, they're spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty, but if I can use this analogy, they're drinking out of the mud holes of this world. I don't know if you know it or not, but if you drink out of a mud hole, you're liable to get sick. Jesus Christ is the living water, isn't he? He's the living water. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's a good verse, isn't it? Can I say this? That's not just a verse for lost people. That's a verse for all of us. In other words, Christians, we need him every day. That's not just for lost people. You and I need, those of us who are saved here today, we need him every day. You can't go without food very long. And you can't go without spiritual food very long. So I just want to remind you of that. He's the bread of life, and we need to be partaking of that all the time, don't we? So, we read that verse in the book of Psalms, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So let me just ask you, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? What do those who believe on Jesus Christ receive? Well, verse 40 tells us, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What's that mean, preacher? Well, that means if you're saved, you're going to live forever. You have everlasting life. I mean, if you're saved, a million years from now, we'll be walking around the streets of heaven. And all this is just going to be a short memory compared to eternity, isn't it? We're going to look back on it and we're going to wonder why we even worried about the things we worried about. Because it's going to be really, compared to eternity, it's nothing. It's a vapor, isn't it? It's a vapor, the Bible tells us. Do you know him today? Let's stand. Thank you for your attention.